Grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A portion of the Bible it's my privilege to share with you tonight is found in our epistle reading, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 to 23, which we heard read before. Dear Christian friends, as we noted now when we came into church today, this is Ascension Day. It's the same every year. We count off 40 days from the Easter wonderful joy, and that's the day Christ ascended into heaven. For 2,000 years and more, Christians have been recognizing that truth on this day and celebrating it like you're doing tonight. But over time, as time passes and things happen, Ascension Day fades into the background when it comes to church holidays. It's not one of the big ones like Christmas or Easter. People don't have to rush to get to church on this day to get a seat, usually. And in a way, that's sad, because the truth is, what happened on Ascension Day plays a role in the life of every single Christian every single day they walk this earth. That's the thing that God wants us to understand tonight about this day and the reality that is ours now that Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven. But to understand that, we first of all have to start with Easter. Easter changes everything. We know that. On that day, Jesus Christ rose from the dead and defeated death, destroyed death, and brought life and immortality to light. So says the Bible. And for the last 6 weeks here at Mount Olive, our pastors have come into the pulpit week after week to explain the wonderful changes that Easter and the victory that Jesus won have brought to this world of ours. All that's true. But Ascension Day tells the rest of the story. On Ascension Day, the risen Lord ascended to the throne of the right hand of God to rule the world. And on that day, all those changes that Jesus Christ worked on Easter became a reality in our life and in our world. A reality that it's our privilege to live every day. First reality, Ascension is a day that changed the world. Now, in our eyes and to our ears, that might seem to be a rather presumptuous statement. I mean, if you look into your Bible and see what life was like in Jesus' day, what do you see? Wars happening all the time. The Romans were fighting with everybody. Disease, Jesus was constantly carrying one disease after another. Dissension everywhere you look. How's it different today? There's still wars today. Turn on the news. There's still disease today. We're living in the middle of a pandemic. All the things that were happening in Jesus' day still seem to be happening today. And there doesn't seem to be a rhyme or reason to them. A tornado at any time can come and knock down the houses in a town, but it doesn't knock down all the houses, just some of the houses, and some are left standing. No rhyme or reason. Germs fill the air and affect some bodies while other people remain healthy. Some get sick and recover, some get sick and die. No rhyme or reason to it. In Jesus' day, it seemed there was no rhyme and reason, in our day either. What we see is chaos. It seems no different. The world doesn't seem changed as we look around us. And worse than that, there's the evil that's still present in our world today. The Bible documents the evil that Jesus dealt with when he walked this earth, but it hasn't gone away. We see it everywhere we look. In fact, it seems that evil seems to be winning in our world more than ever. Those of us who've been privileged to live on this earth for a couple of years can tell you that 30 years ago, what was recognized by everybody as perversion and sinful now is celebrated as if it's a noble thing. Evil seems to be advancing in our world. That's how it looks. So when you come into church on Ascension Day, the pastor stands in the pulpit speaking for God and says, God wants you to know the world is changed because of Ascension, you kind of wonder how it can be. Well, God wants us to understand that with chaos and evil seeming to rule in this world, that's actually what you have to call fake news. And we hear all the time about fake news when we're watching our TV and people complaining about it. But in this case, it's our senses that are giving us the fake news. What our eyes see and what our ears hear, we then translate into an understanding of the world. And that understanding that chaos is ruling and evil's in charge is completely false. That's why God brings us here, out of that world today, to sit in his house and learn how things really are now that Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven. And to see that, the Apostle Paul spells it out in the verse 20 and following. He says, God raised him from the dead. That's the Easter news. But look at the next words. And seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Right now, the Lord Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of God, the ruling position of the universe, higher than any other authority. And look what Paul says next. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Do you realize what that means? Jesus Christ, right now, is controlling everything that happens in this world. Nothing happens in this world unless the Lord himself allows it to happen. That's true for all storms. Wherever those storms occur, how far they go and what they do, completely under the Lord's control. That's true for all disease. Jesus Christ is in control the whole time. He's the one who has control of these things for everything else that happens in this world. It's true for the things that people do, even the evil things. They go only as far as Jesus will let them and accomplish purposes he intends. Now you might wonder, if you and I were God, the world we would create would look something like the Garden of Eden. Let's get rid of all the bad stuff. Obviously, Jesus didn't do that when he ascended the throne to heaven. Jesus Christ took the world as it stood and simply made it all work for his purposes now. Right now, in heaven, Jesus is doing two things. One, Jesus Christ is giving warnings to the world right now to repent. Every disaster that happens in this world is a warning, a mini judgment. A statement that God himself says to the people of this world, something's wrong between the God who made you and you, and repentance is needed before the great judgment day comes. Pandemic is one of those things, a warning to everyone in the world that it's time to repent before a greater judgment comes. Jesus, from the throne of heaven, is sending these warnings out every day in every form, and he wants the world to hear them and know them. Second thing Jesus is doing, he's making all things work as a blessing for his people. You know the passages. All things work together for good to those who love God. That's happening in this world for our benefit as well. We live in the midst of a pandemic, but we know that the Lord will make this to be a blessing in our lives. We can count on it because he sits on the throne of heaven and makes it happen for that reason. At this point in time, Jesus is the one in control. There is not chaos in this world. Things have a purpose. Jesus himself is carrying that purpose out. But there's one problem with that. The problem is, it takes faith to see it. We can't use our eyes and see Jesus sitting on the throne of heaven right now. Our senses don't pick that up. To see that, you have to put your senses aside and look through the eye of faith. How did Paul put it in Corinthians? Things that come from the Spirit of God are spiritually discerned. God calls us on this Ascension Day to understand our reality by putting our senses aside and examining the world through the eye of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And that's why in this text, the Apostle Paul also included what we would call an Ascension Day prayer, so that all of us can see how things really are now that Jesus ascended into heaven. Paul puts it this way, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. That's the thing that God wants to place in our hearts tonight. He wants to open the eyes of our faith to see things as they really are, to understand that the Lord right now sits on the throne of heaven, controls all things, and that truth changes our lives. If you can get out of bed in the morning recognizing Jesus Christ sits on the throne of heaven, controls all things for your good, then everything in your life is different from that moment on. Paul highlights the differences this makes when we walk by faith and not by sight. First difference, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. See that word, hope? Hope's a hard thing in this world for us, you and me. At least if you're like me, I suspect you find that it is. Sometimes it's so easy to be discouraged. It's such a simple thing. All you got to do is measure the size of the problem versus the size of your strength. When you see that it's not a match, when you see that you don't have the wisdom to fix it or the ability to make it better, when it doesn't seem that there's any way you can bring that about, hopelessness is easy. It occurs in every facet of our life. In our marriages, when things aren't working the way we want, we feel hopeless at times, like there's nothing we can do. When our health isn't what we want it to be, we feel hopeless because there seems to be no way to fix it. When our finances are in trouble or our job disappears, hopelessness easily follows all of that. But God on Ascension Day tells us when you know Jesus sits on the throne of heaven, you measure by a whole different ruler. Our problems may be so large, we can't fix them. We may have dragged them into church tonight with us, whatever they may be. But what problem exists in your life that the ascended Lord can't fix? This is the Lord that made lame people walk, and deaf people hear, and blind people see. This is the Lord that stood by the side of a man named Jairus after Jairus was told his 12-year-old daughter died. And Jesus turned to him and said, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." And he raised the little girl to life. The ascended Lord tells us today that we never need to feel hopeless again. The ascended Lord is on the throne of heaven, making all things work for our good and blessing. And consequently, we can walk in hope every day, even when you have problems that you can't fix. But while no one in the church would probably say tonight that Jesus Christ is not more than equal to our problems, in other words, he's so strong he can fix everything, we get that. But the question is, will he fix what's wrong in our life? When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon in the Old Testament, announced to him that he was highly favored by God and blessed, Gideon answered with a question. He said, "If God is on my side, then why is all this bad stuff happening?" It's a question the devil likes to raise with us too. Jesus may have all power. He may sit on the throne of heaven. But it seems he's turned his back on you and me because there are problems in our life that bring us sorrow and hardship and difficulty. Does that mean that God isn't there for us? Does that mean that God isn't on our side? Jesus, the ascended Lord, is here to tell you that's not true. He is a Lord who chose us to be his children. He chose us to be our inheritance, to share the inheritance of heaven in his family. Now, normally when we talk about the glorious inheritance, we're talking about going to heaven, and that's part of it. But there's a first part. Jesus Christ has chosen us to be his children, picked us out to be his own, washed all our sins away in his blood, and guarantees that when he looks at us, he's pleased with us and standing by our side. The ascended Lord is the one who says to you and me, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He walks by our side every step of the way. When the devil comes and tells you, "Hey, that problem's in your life because God isn't listening to you or caring about you," you and I can readily walk by faith and say, "That's not true. My Lord is the good shepherd. He leads me on every path of life." When the devil comes and says, "Well, you can't think God loves you. Look at what a sinner you are," you can say, "My sins are washed away. Though they are red like crimson, they are now white like wool, because Jesus Christ has washed me clean. This is a God who's on my side. This is a God who sits on the throne of heaven." That's the ascension reality that you and I get to exercise every day. We get out of bed in the morning and say, "Jesus Christ is on the throne of heaven. It's going to be a great day." And that puts in your hands one last thing, one last reality. He says there's an immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. Because Jesus Christ sits on the throne of heaven, because Jesus Christ is completely on your side and eager to bless you, you have a tremendous power in your hands. Every day, for every situation, you can go to the throne of God and ask that God to answer your prayers. Every day. That's the power that sits in your hands, the power to ask God to tend the problem you see. Now, even that's a hard pill to swallow for some Christians, and in this world, there are people who laugh at that idea. There are people who think that prayer does nothing. And maybe you and I can come up with prayers in our life where it seemed to be just that, where we asked God to do something and it didn't happen, so maybe prayer doesn't work so good. But we're not understanding what's happening here. We have a God who sits on the throne of heaven with all power in his hands. We have a God who's completely on our side and completely chosen us to be his children. And this God is eager to answer our prayers. You know the passages. Ask, and it shall be given. There's no maybe in that. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Well, God is not saying that he's Santa Claus and gives you everything you ask for immediately. What he's telling you is what his attitude is. This is our Heavenly Father. He's eager to bless us with what we want and ask for. And consequently, God is saying that his first option for every prayer is to give you exactly what you ask for. That's what God wants to do. Jesus wants to give you exactly what you're asking for in every prayer. That's his first thought. But remember, God is wiser than we are. So sometimes God understands that while we may be asking for one thing, he's got something even better that will work better. So sometimes God will do that. That's the only other option. And when you and I pray, either the Lord who sits on the throne of heaven will grant that prayer, or he'll give us something better. Now, that doesn't mean we'll understand the better part, not here. Our senses can't pick that up all the time. But that doesn't mean it's not better. Do you remember the account of the children of Israel in the desert when God sent snakes into the camp to test them because they were grumbling and complaining and not trusting him? Well, the Bible tells us when the Israelites realized that they had angered God by their sinfulness, they came to Moses with a prayer. They said to Moses, ask God to take the snakes away. Seems like a solution I would have asked for too. But you remember what God did? God said, I've got something better for them. He told Moses to take a serpent made of brass, put it on a pole, and put it in the middle of the camp. And he told Moses to tell the people, when those snakes that are still there bite them, and they still will bite, you have the people turn to that snake on that poison pole and believe that God will spare their lives, and he will. Something better. Instead of taking the snakes away, God gave them a chance to trust him in the middle of trial. They needed to exercise that trust in the desert. They were dependent fully on God. They needed to have that kind of trust when they entered Cana so that God would help them drive out the nations before them. Trust was the most important thing, and God answered their prayer with that. That's how it is with us. We pray and ask God for what we think is the best solution, and if it is, God will grant that immediately. But if God knows something better, he'll grant that instead. Either way, you have incredible power. You are the child of God who can talk to the throne of God in heaven, Jesus Christ himself, and he will answer your prayer and respond every single time, either by giving you what you ask for or giving you something better. That's power. What do you got to pray about tonight? How many things in your life cause your creases in the forehead or worry your heart at night instead of making you sleep? Those are things you can talk to God about right now. Exercise that power and know that our ascended Lord will respond in a way that's best for you and me. So that's the Ascension Day reality. Jesus Christ sits on the throne of heaven right now and controls all things. Don't believe what your senses are telling you. Watch the news with your eye for faith, understanding that Jesus is in control of these things. He makes all things work together for good for his children and does what's needed to be done to carry out his victory in this world. And that means for you and me, every day, we can live in hope. There's no more need to feel hopeless. No matter what we're facing, this is the Lord. He will make it work for our good. We can be sure that this Lord is on our side and has made an inheritance for us in heaven. We are his chosen children, and we can exercise that power every day by going to the throne of this ascended Lord and asking his help for every challenge we face. May that be your confidence every day you walk this earth, that you know the ascended Lord is in control and that Lord is eager to fill your life with blessing. Amen.
Hey, thank you so much for checking out some of the content from Mount Olive Church. If you liked what you saw today, we would love it if you would subscribe to our YouTube channel or over on Spotify, subscribe to get sermon podcasts weekly. Also, if you checked out our sermon today, go over to mountoliveappleton.com and sign the friendship register so we know that you were blessed by our work today. God's blessings to you.